Hello, and welcome to The Creep End. I'm your host, Brittany, and this is my co-host and sister, Kaylin.
Hi.
And we're really back, guys. Like, for real.
Don't tell them that.
I know, every time I jinx it, but like...
Don't give them false hope.
I feel like this is like the official season two.
I feel like you're giving them false hope. All four listeners.
Our last episode was November 2022.
It was a very long time ago.
So, I'm so happy though. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
I missed it.
You know, with the gas going up and...
Perfect timing,
you know,
for us to monetize it.
Depression.
So if you guys get ads on this podcast from here on out, it's because we need gas money. So
mainly me. I pay $5.50 a fucking gallon.
If we could at least fund your gas money with something,
hey,
you know, $5
and my Starbucks addiction, you know.
Yeah, that would be a nice, but let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
We'll start with one thing.
We'll start with one. At least gas money. So, yeah. What is today? Excuse me.
September
12th. It's on the computer.
Definitely not the 13th.
It's right here. I just looked.
I was going to say the 13th.
So we did actually record an episode, like, I don't know, in May? June?
A long time ago.
I don't know. It was a while ago, and that was supposed to be our big comeback, and yeah, it didn't. I didn't even post it. I didn't even edit it. So I'm gonna edit and post that one first, so it's every probably thing we're talking about is gonna be like absolutely irrelevant on the back end, but obviously stories are never irrelevant.
Nothing
but
is ever.
Like, this one's the comeback. This one's it. So yeah, I know I barely remember back in that one we briefly talked about all the shit that had happened up to then, which was just, it's been rough.
Yeah,
it's been a rough one. So we had to back burner this for obviously quite some time, but I think we're on the up and up, and I'm gonna hold on to that hope we're on the up and up.
Wow. You know, until like my appendix ruptures or something.
It should be alright.
She'll just bring the podcast to me in the hospital.
It's fine. Maybe one day we'll learn how to just podcast from our own houses, but I think I need a laptop for that thing.
I have a laptop now.
Maybe I'll try to figure that out. That way you don't have to drive up here all the time.
I don't mind driving up here.
I know, but...
It gives me something to do on Tuesdays.
Then I can hide in a closet and record. By myself.
I can hide in my Harry Potter closet.
Oh my god.
My shoe closet.
Yes. tell our two last listeners left that you moved into a house with a Harry Potter closet.
I did. I think I did last time.
Did you? Oh, did you had just moved then?
I had just... Well, we hadn't recorded since, like, November. Then I moved, and then we recorded in, like, May.
So you did tell our last two listeners.
I moved.
So I, like, legit had three people ask me, like, oh, when are you guys gonna post an episode again? And I'm like, I didn't even know you listened.
No.
They're like, yeah, I've just been waiting.
No. My heart.
Wow. And then I texted you and was like, maybe we should... do this again.
They like listening to how dumb I sound sometimes,
so
they just like laughing.
Well, then I have the stickers on my table at work, and people mm-hmm. like, what's this? I'm like, well,
they're just ghost stickers.
It's like
right
literal
now
literal ghost.
It's just a ghost.
But you know, it's also like spooky season, so I figured it's perfect time to get back into it, and then we'll go on. We'll go forth.
You know, speaking of spooky season and me being dumb.
Oh my god, yes.
Fucking text Brittany last night in like a hectic, frantic, you know, I saw UFOs! I saw UFOs! I go outside to get my cats to come in. And I look up And I'm like, I literally smack myself in the face a few times because I don't think my eyes are adjusting. I wear glasses. I've always had eyesight problems, just for those of you who do not know me. And I'm like looking and I'm trying to get my eyes to adjust to the string of fucking whatever is moving in a slow line above my house and just going just straight into like this like almost like rainbow like shape. And I'm like, maybe I'm not going crazy. And I call Brian out and I'm like, Brian, come here. And he comes outside and he's like, what? And I'm like, are my eyes not adjusting? What is this in the sky? And he was like, bro, those are UFOs. Hold on. Andre, go get my phone. And so he like tries to record them the best he can. Turns out they're just like Starlink. Elon Musk satellites.
Starlink satellites.
So, you know,
being
ruined my night, but it's all right.
Well, she texted me and that was the first question I asked. I was like, are you sure it's not satellites? She's like, no, they're in a formation.
They were in like the straight line formation. But what had really like got me was the fact that they were like, there were so many of them. It wasn't like five to like six of them. It was like 13 of them.
That's crazy. But at least it wasn't aliens, I guess.
I don't know. I'd rather it be aliens.
Alright.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just...
It'd be really scary to see that, especially with all of the stuff in the news lately. Well,
exactly. And I'm like, they know that they're here, so they're just, fuck it, we're
right,
here.
Like, they're like, alright, everyone knows, fuck it, we're all just gonna be seen now. That's funny that you had that happen yesterday, because I was at... I went to Walmart yesterday. I feel like this is such a Walmart story.
Oh, God. I went to Walmart yesterday.
I'm, like, literally grabbing a giant case of water. And this man... I'm wearing my Blink-182 shirt from the concert I went to in June. And it has them on it. So it's, like, literally their faces. And this guy goes, Hey, that's... Hey, you know what that guy does? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, that's what he said to me, like, out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, your shirt. And I'm like, he's like, the singer on your shirt. I'm like, well, sir, two men sing in this band. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, but you know what he does? I was like, you're talking about the guy who hunts aliens? He's like, yes, yes. I was like, yeah, that's Tom. He has a alien hunting foundation. Like, I know all about it. And he's like, isn't that just crazy? I go, I mean, is it? And he's like, what? I'm like, I mean, did you really think we were the only ones here? And he was like, I guess we're not. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I think he wasn't expecting me to like
turn around or and like,
expecting me to be like, oh, that's stupid. But he's like, all the stuff in the news lately. I go, I mean, that's stuff that's been out and around. Like, but I'm a creepy bitch and I know about all that shit. But it was just like, it was just hella funny because he was like, hey, you know what that guy does? And I'm like, oh my god, this crazy man's talking to me in the damn water aisle. Like, oh, and then he goes, oh, do you want me to grab that case for you? I'm like, no, sir.
No,
I'm
no,
okay.
No,
like,
nope.
This conversation is like lightweight enough for me because then I'm trying to like muscles. Leave the aisle too. And he's like, yeah, it's like so weird. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I guess it is.
Oh my god. Speaking of creepy Walmart stories.
This is all our podcast is now. The people of Walmart.
Walmart and Clear Lake.
Oh no. Caitlin, that's the worst one.
My dumbass decides to bend down to pick something off the bottom shelf. And I went with our sister-in-law. And I thought she would have been like right behind me, but I guess not. Somebody catcalled me, whistled at me. And I turned up to think I was going to see her and I was going to giggle. And I turned up and it was not her.
Like a man with two teeth.
Do
you remember?
I like stood up as straight as I could and I was like, where the fuck is she? Where the fuck is she? And I found her and I like ran straight for her. And I was like, we got to go.
Do you remember? Were you there? We went up. It was either like one of the trips we were still in school or right after. But I remember going there to get stuff, and there was that guy wearing a flannel shirt as a kilt.
They still do that.
And he was wearing like a yes. That white wife beater tank. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, wife beater tank top, and then he was wearing literally a buttoned down plaid flannel shirt as a kilt.
Yes.
With, like, the sleeves tied as a belt. And I just was kind of, I don't think that's the way the Scots did it, but...
You tried. I mean, you tried.
I guess you gotta do with what you got.
Maybe his was in the mail. And he had, like,
a mullet, and I'm pretty sure he was missing a front tooth.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting thing.
You know, I love going to that Walmart to people that watch. That one
is, like...
As judgy as that just sounded.
Yeah, you know, I guess this isn't very nice of us, but it is what it is. I'm perfectly fine being, like, the butt of somebody's Walmart story.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I got weird hair, yeah. And I often dress like I've not showered in 5 days, so
And I'm the fine. Mom that screams at her kids in the Walmart, you know? So
Your kid
fine.
Pissed in a Walmart.
I think it was also that Walmart, the Clear Lake one, too, so... Or was it yours?
No, it was this one.
Oh, it was this one. I was with you. Like, it was probably both. And no, he said, my kids.
Oh.
He was a baby, though.
And I think they were literally, like, three.
They were still potty training, I think.
Yeah, I think it was during COVID.
And he was just like, I forgot to tell you I had to go potty. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why don't you just say something? I'm going to take you. It's the
early days of chonies, and they don't understand.
He was like, he looked at it and he goes, uh-oh. And I just walked over to a Walmart employee and I go, oh, I think somebody spilled something right there. And I walked away.
That's amazing.
That's you know, amazing. I'm going to hell anyway, so yeah.
I don't think your kid peeing on the floor constitutes going to hell.
You know.
There's like grown people who pee on floors because they're like mad. Inebriated or pissed off.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's far worse things to do to get into hell. Except lie to an employee about your kid peeing on the floor.
That's very true.
She probably thought you peed on the floor and you're blaming it on somebody spilled something.
Maybe.
I think lucky you, we were in like the laundry detergent aisle.
No, it was the clothes aisle.
Was it
the clothing? It was a full-on like women's clothes aisle.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was.
Oh, no, because we walked over to get wipes.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, anyway, not the specifics.
I had to buy him new clothes because I didn't bring any other clothes with me that day. You know, mom of the year over here.
That's all right.
Mom of the year.
That's okay. I will take Nova to work with me after I pick her up from daycare. I'll go back and work, and then I'm, like, realizing I didn't pack extra pull-ups, so it's basically the same thing. At least hers is absorbent.
And, like, his, you know, little baby undies.
Yeah. Anyway. That's weird.
Anyway.
Moving on.
All right. 33 minutes of, you know,
Walmart. 33 minutes of Walmart. And then we'll get to the paranormal stories. Oh man. So, I mean, I've obviously always have creepy shit happening to me, but I feel like it's the same old, same old. Like the creepy shit at work. Somebody apparently came in and said that it's a woman at our work, but I don't know that I trust their judgment. Because yeah. I definitely see a man.
Yeah.
But maybe it's my own personal one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe different people come in and out. I have no idea. So, when I remember more stuff... They'll be in the beginnings of our episodes going forward. I did not prepare that part. I prepared a story, but I didn't prepare my own.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm trying shall to think we,
if there's anything else that's creepy. I don't know. My kids scare me half the time when they come in and, like, tap me on the shoulder in the middle of the night. I'm, like, wanting to kick them in the face on accident.
Nova. It's
like, what are you doing?
Nova has gotten herself into Halloween.
Oh.
So I finally broke down and, like, let her watch, like, YouTube Kids sometimes, and they have, like, Halloween nursery rhymes, or they change some, like, songs over to Halloween stuff, like Wheels on the Bus, like, Halloween version.
Oh, shit.
And, so she's gotten herself into Halloween, so now she's like, oh, Mama, Halloween is soon. It's coming up soon.
Aww.
I want to be a pumpkin. I want to be a zombie. And then she starts, like, doing the arms and walking around all crazy. So it's super fun. So I let her choose, because I'm a spooky bitch, but it doesn't mean she needs to be.
Yeah.
But she got herself into it, and I'm pretty proud.
Yeah.
However, with that she started having, like, little, like, bad dreams. Because in some of these videos, like, the video's a good kind of premise. It's like, oh my gosh, what is that? Ah, I'm scared. And it's like, oh, it's just the cat.
Yeah.
But they make a creepy animation first before they pull up the bed and it's just the cat hiding.
Yeah.
So I think that part's not helping anything. Mm-hmm. So she woke up at, like, literally, of course, the witching hour, 3 a.m. Comes into my room and goes, Mama, something's in my room. And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude.
I'm not ready. Like, this is on your dad.
I'm not ready for this. So I went in there and I'm like, get her back to bed. And I'm like, shut the door. I'm like, you leave her the fuck alone. Like, yeah. I know she's just having dreams, but still, I'm like, you knock it the fuck off. You let her sleep. So that's about the gist of my creepy shit.
Rowan watched Halloween Town, all like five movies or however many there are now. Mm-hmm. She loves it, which I'm like, huh.
That's such a good one.
Oh, yes. And I saw that, like, Tim Burton might be having a spinoff on it.
Why?
I don't know. Because there was a poster with Tim Burton's name in Halloween Town.
It might be fan-made.
It might be, but
I feel like I always hear about those things.
Fucking creepy and I haven't heard about shit, that. And I was like, no thanks.
Well, because there's, like, people do that. Like, what if Tim Burton made this?
I've seen it a lot, though, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
So.
No.
It's fine. I like Tim Burton stuff, but I don't really feel like he needs to, like,
grab a hold of everything.
Do everything or remake anything.
Yeah.
And now they're doing, he's doing Beetlejuice 2?
Yeah.
But everybody kind of came back for that one, so I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we can move on to the pop culture shit later. I guess we'll give them what they're actually here for.
It's just
me. If they're even here. Mm-hmm. Anyone? It's crickets.
Knock, knock.
Insert cricket noises. All right, so shall we dive in?
Ha ha ha.
Oh, it's been so long since I've said that.
Tiny violin playing.
I'm alive. All right. Well, so for today, I chose to do the Enfield Poltergeist, which many of you will know as the haunting from the second Conjuring movie.
This is shit I don't watch, so it's all on Brittany today. Goodbye.
That one, the first one scared me. The second one was like creepy, but I was more scared by the first one.
I have never seen any of the Conjurings.
Those ones are good. I mean, so, I like them.
No thanks.
I don't like a lot of scary movies now, but I liked the first one at least. The third one was like, I felt like the third one had a lot going on in it, and then they're just really pulling in that nun lady, and
I'm
kind of tired of seeing the nun around. I feel like if I saw that, I would just kick her right in the face because I'm sick of her face.
I'm sick of her face.
Like, actually, fuck you. I'm sick of you. Anyway, alright, so the Enfield Poltergeist was the claim of poltergeist activity centered around sisters Janet and Margaret Hodgson between the years of 1977 and 1979 provinces and neighborhoods in Brimsdown, Enfield, London, England.
Say that 10 times.
Yeah. I was like, why do they have so many fucking names? Anyway.
Province, street.
It's like,
hold a sec.
Isn't it like the neighborhood in the province, in the town, in the... Is the town a province? Is a province a town?
I don't know
what any of that means. Maybe it is. It's the street in the town, in the...
Province.
Bigger town of in the city, country.
Of the country. Of the state.
I don't know. Obviously, we have not been to Europe. So, womp womp,
if you can't tell.
Anyway, alright, so one night in August 1977, the two sisters were supposed to be going to sleep, but it sounded as though they were roughhousing, so their mom, Peggy, went up to tell them to go to bed, only to find them huddled in the corner looking terrified. They told her that the dresser had been moving by itself towards the door, however, Peggy didn't really believe them, told them to, like, stop being silly. And then the dresser began moving again, and she actually watched it start moving towards the door, And she got the feeling as if it was trying to block the girls in the room. And then she tried to push it back, but it wouldn't move. She couldn't get it to move back where it came from. So that obviously scared the shit out of everyone. So she grabs her other two kids and they all run across the street to their neighbors, Vic and Peggy Nottingham's house.
A lot of Peggy's.
Lots of Peggy's. So then they send Vic over to go check out the house.
Oh, man.
And he went in and he didn't see anything move. However, he said that a bunch of strange noises were coming from like all around the house. So they decided to go ahead and call the police, which I'm like, I guess if you thought somebody was maybe in your house fucking with you, but was like
the person in the dresser.
It's like from Beauty and the Beast. That's what I was thinking. You know that meme that goes around? It was like my favorite character from Beauty and the Beast is the dresser with the baseball bat ready to give him the smoke. It's like a little picture of it in the corner. Oh my god. Anyway. So anyway, they called the police and they came to investigate and they were checking around the house, like checking the fridge pipes and all the shit that could possibly make noises. And one of the officers said that they saw a chair wobble and then slide across the room.
Nope.
And then they were like, well, there's nothing we can do here.
Yeah.
And left it at that.
They need the Pope.
Yeah, the Pope, not the Popo. So the strange occurrences kept happening, which led Peggy to reach out to a local publication called the Daily Mirror. They sent in a reporter and a cameraman to document the happenings, and of course, nothing happened within the few hours that they were there. Until they went to leave. And as they were packing up, the cameraman was hit above the eye with a Lego. So Poltergeist likes throwing Legos.
Apparently. At least, you know, he threw it and didn't leave it for him to step on.
So after that, the reporter from the Daily Mirror basically was like, okay, definitely something weird's here. So they called in the Society of Psychical Research, which is SPR, and Maurice Gross was then sent to investigate. During his investigation, he claimed to have experienced at least 2,000 paranormal incidents. He would see furniture turning over by itself, cups filling up with water, fires igniting randomly, and disembodied voices, and the girls levitating. He was eventually joined by another PSR member who was, whose name was Guy Lion Playfair. It's a name. There's a lot going on there. Hey, Guy Playfair. He probably got that joke a lot. Or maybe he didn't, and now it's now forever encapsulated in my podcast.
I don't know. My kids were the only ones to call you Buttony.
Yeah.
After all it's this true. Time.
The younger generations are so creative.
Better than the older generations who didn't think of it, and we got picked on.
Oh, man. So, anyway. So, the one sister, Janet, seemed to be at the center of the haunting. She was constantly levitated. Most noises and sounds happened around her. She was once strangled by her bedroom window curtain.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. And the entity then began to speak through her. She would go into a trance-like state, and a scratchy voice could be heard coming from, like, behind her neck. So it wasn't coming out of her mouth, but it was like coming from like around her or
Voldemort.
Like what? Voldemort is coming from behind her head, basically. They even tried to like tape her mouth shut and also like had her hold water in her mouth to like prove that it wasn't her speaking, and they could still hear the voice with those things happening. So the voice called itself Bill Wilkins, and it claimed to have lived in the house and died there. this was proven to be true. A man by that name did live in the house, and he died in a chair in the living room of a brain hemorrhage. Which is freaky. And I'm like, did they disclose, like, if somebody died in the house? You know what I mean? Like, how would she have known that as a little girl? She's like 11. I forgot to say their ages. Like, Janet, I think, was 11, and Margaret was like 13. But it's like, I mean, I guess I was a creepy bitch at 11, but I don't think I was Googling if anyone died in her house. I don't even think Google existed when I was 11.
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember. Windows 97?
No, Windows 97. It's Windows 98, okay?
We did. We had Windows 98 until, like, 2005.
It's that AOL dial-up.
We had it for a really long time. Anyway. They definitely didn't have Google in the 70s.
And encyclopedias.
She's looking it up in the encyclopedia. Who died here? Anyway. So Janet would also be prone to having these, like, crazy fits of rage. She would, like, rush into a room and start banging her head against the wall. She swore profusely, and she just kept becoming more and more aggressive as the haunting persisted. Peggy was also pretty affected by it. It kind of seemed like, even though, like, Margaret would be levitated and stuff, like, it was really mostly Janet and then, like, the mom, Peggy. So, like, Peggy said that she knew when something was gonna happen because she'd get the really, like, sudden onset migraine. And then an incident would happen. And she said that she also, like, would have a bunch of, strange dreams, but her and Margaret would have the exact same dreams. So, it's pretty weird.
Remind me to never go to this province.
So, there's a lot of other stuff, like, little stuff that happened that I didn't really... I tried to just main point it, obviously, but... You know, like, lots of instances of the girls, like, levitating. Like, one woman was walking by and saw Janet, like, floating up and down through a window.
Maybe she was jumping on a trampoline.
Well, you know, it's possible. Yeah, she put a trampoline in her bedroom.
Or the bed.
They had, like, tons of investigators, like, a bunch of different mediums and stuff come in and out, like, because it was being reported in the Daily Mirror, like, a lot of people were actually, like, intrigued, and, like, the story went basically viral. So, like, people would visit to check it out. All the neighbors had seen something. Just a hell of investigators. Like, Ed and Lorraine Warren did come and investigate at one point as well, so...
Why didn't they move out?
Because they were poor.
I'd be living in my car.
Help me, I'm poor. I can't leave my haunted house.
I'd be living in a pig's pen.
So, at one point, the family was chased out one day by whatever was happening, and they ran up the road to Peggy's brother's house. And his wife was making them all tea when she saw a Lego brick materialize in front of her and then, like, drop onto the counter. And they kind of realized, like, the entity could follow them. So it wasn't just attached to the house, which plays into a theory later. So,
Lego bricks, man.
I know, right? Like...
Don't ever want to play with Legos again.
What if the ghost just, like,
was like,
put all the Lego bricks, like, in the hallway, and everyone stepped on them barefoot or something? Like, you know what I mean? What a dick.
It's like underneath the floorboards, like, where you can feel them.
He's materializing freaking Legos, and you step on them. That'd be an asshole ghost. So the investigators, Gross and Playfair, saw indentations in a bed that looked...
Two wonderful names together.
You know?
Anyways, continue. Yeah.
They saw indentations in a bed that looked as though somebody were lying in it, and they suspected that maybe... God damn, you scared me, Ezra.
It's the Lego bricks.
Well, it's like muffled because I'm wearing the headphones, so his sneeze sounded weird. Anyway, goddamn. So it had an indentation that looked like somebody was laying in it. They suspected that maybe the haunting was caused in part by the spirit of a little girl whose house the furniture had come from. Peggy, when she moved into this house, had like gotten a bunch of furniture from somebody else, and it just happened to be from the home of a little girl who had been smothered by her father.
Ooh.
So they suggested that Peggy get rid of the furniture, so she did, and the haunting still persisted. Apparitions also began to appear, and there were many claims of like an elderly woman that could be seen like wandering in the windows or staring out of the window, and somebody claimed to see like a man in one of the windows, and he had like big teeth. It's the descriptor. Big teeth.
It's like our entire family, so.
It was me. I'm just kidding.
I should come in. Me!
So over the 18-month span of the haunting, over 30 people, that included both neighbors and the numerous investigators that came in, claimed to see the heavy furniture moving on its own, objects being thrown across rooms, disembodied voices and knocking, and many people saw firsthand the sisters levitate several feet above the ground. At the end of the haunting, a medium named... Dang. This is a tough one, and I meant to, like, get the Google spelled, like, the...
Just try.
Dono? Malig? Maling? Malig? It's G-M-E-L-I-G, so I don't know if the... It's like a, you know, like a... Meh. I don't know how he's anyway, Mayling, we'll just say a medium named Mayling came to the house. I think it said he was like Dutch too, and I'm like, I don't know how they pronounce their stuff over there, and I meant to look into it. I meant to not sound like an American, but here I am. Anyway, so he came to the house and he claimed to travel the astral plane and was certain that a 24-year-old woman was involved in the hauntings. Our investigator, Gross, had a daughter who passed away in a crash at the age of 24.
Mm.
Whose name was also Janet.
Mm.
And when she passed away, it led him into joining the SPR. And after that, this spirit was identified, all of the paranormal events slowed down and eventually stopped. And then that was the end of it. So which, like, I have questions.
Janet wanted to be recognized?
Did Janet go through an elaborate scheme to, like, give her dad a story to investigate? Or did Janet realize her dad was hanging out with another Janet and was like, hey, let me join in on this. I'm trying to hang out. There's a lot to...
Did or Janet was she get like ignored when she was a child? And this was like, hey, dad, it's me. Pay attention.
I'm going to haunt this other little kid named Janet so you can come pay attention to me. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack at that one. Anyway, so even though, like, nearly every paranormal investigator believed the incidents to be real, and there were some that, like, they came and nothing happened, and
yeah,
they just thought, oh, this is just, like, blown out of proportion at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, most people thought that they were real, but there was, like, a lot of skepticism surrounding the sisters, but especially Janet. Janet had actually been caught on camera attempting to bend an iron bar to place as, like, evidence. And they both the sisters had been caught bending spoons, because I guess they would leave bent silverware lying around, or they would find bent silverware, which is, like, you know, poltergeists always, like, fuck with stuff. So yeah, they were caught on camera having done that. There were a few times that the voices that they heard around the house would have, like, the same, like talking patterns as Janet. I guess she would talk really fast sometimes, like change the subject a lot if she were having a longer conversation. So the all of a sudden these disembodied voices are having that same kind of like style of talking. And some people also thought that she was like able to throw her voice, like ventriloquism. And some investigators also thought she was able to, I didn't write it down, but I just remembered it, but it's called false vocal cord.
Okay.
So you can actually, like, with your mouth shut, still sound like you're talking because you're able to move the muscles in your neck.
Oh, that's so creepy.
A certain way.
Ooh.
So that's why they think when she was doing the man voice and it sounded like it was coming from her neck, that she was doing the man's voice.
But the levitation.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because there's hella people that saw them levitate. Like, the lady walking past the window. Unless of course, really... she could have been jumping on her bed and just laying flat, you know, trying to flatten her body real quick. Or the sisters, like, throwing her. I don't know.
Wingardium Leviosa.
But, yeah, I don't know how you disprove the levitation when a lot of the researchers even saw it happen right in front of them.
Yeah.
There's some photos, and I'll probably post one of the photos on our Instagram, where it looks like she's jumping. And that was supposed to be photographic evidence of her levitating. But she literally looks like she's doing a chair pose, like she's sitting. So it kind of looks like she jumped and, like, kicked her legs up, so she's like scrunched a little, so that it, you know, like either one, maybe half the time was real and then half the time, like, she admitted that they did fake some of the stuff, which that's my next talking point. Janet did admit, because her and her sister are still alive, they've been interviewed multiple times, so she does admit that her and her sister did fake some of the events, but they were always caught. And she says it's because the investigators could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Obviously. So she claims that of only 2% of anything that happened in that house, like, were faked by her and her sister. That there was still plenty happening on its own, that even the little times that they decided to, like, keep shit going.
Okay, yeah, like the Lego appearing out of nowhere.
Yeah, you know, at the other person's house.
Yeah.
It's like she brought a Lego. She brought a pile of Legos in her pocket and was like chucking them through the doorway or something while no one's looking. Yeah, exactly. Like, hella people, even a cop, which I'm like, why would the cop admit?
A cop out of everyone.
Like, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I don't know about all cops, but I feel like if I were going to be a cop, I feel like my first instinct would be somebody's in the house, not is a ghost.
Yeah.
So if I am in a house and then there's something moving around and there's literally no, I can't find any way that this happened. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, why would I lie about that? There's no wire attached to it. There's no.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was stuff happening that could not be explained. The girls just kind of like wanted to amp it up every now and then. Which I don't feel like you needed to. It's pretty creepy all on its own.
Exactly.
But again, they were like 11, 12, you know. It's like, well, I guess, I don't know, what else do you do? You're not practical at that age. So some of the researchers that investigated the home believe this to be like a true poltergeist haunting, in the sense of the idea that poltergeist hauntings can be caused by kind of like the energy and emotion surrounding a like pubescent like child teenager. So there is this whole thought process that poltergeist activity typically happens in, and somebody has studied this, like, I remember reading about it a long time ago, and I maybe should have like reread what I found for this episode, but whatever. You know how it goes here. I remember reading that they've done actual research. Like, somebody took all of these, like, poltergeist hauntings. So poltergeist hauntings are different than regular ghost hauntings in the sense that things really get moved around, pushed.
Yeah.
Physically, things are happening in front of your face. Like, I have it where I set something down and then it's not where I left it or something. These things are happening, like, chairs being stacked weird. Like, things that just are way out of the norm. And typically, like, ghosts can't, like, move too much stuff around. Like, heavy furniture. So somebody took a bunch of cases and tried to find the common denominators, and there was always like a teenager in the house, like an 11 to 17 year old in the house. So that's where the idea started to come from, that maybe while these kids are going through this hormonal change and their brains are doing, like, that's your second craziest brain growth spurt, is when you're going through puberty. So they think that somehow all of that happening causes causes fluctuations in the electron activity and can cause like physical disturbances in the areas around them. So all of this like electron activity happening like physically builds up and then like can physically push a dresser towards a door. And some people think that when the, you know, because you're usually angry when you're a teenager, I guess, or got, you know, your emotions are just heightened. That they can, when they focus on something, they can almost make it happen. So it's like if that, you know, if this is true and these teenagers get really mad at you or something.
Why didn't I have that?
I don't know, right? I feel like I should have been, the whole house would have just crumbled to bits.
I mean, I feel like between me and you alone, right?
Anyway, but anyway. So, but yeah, they think that, like, just that extra buildup of these, like, heightened emotions and stuff, like, almost, like, projects onto objects.
That's really interesting. I want to read that.
Yeah, it was, like, there's a whole study. Like,
no, I'm like, fairly certain. That's so cool.
I don't want to be talking out of my ass, but I remember reading, like, somebody literally was like, let me see what the common denominator is here. So these types of hauntings are also usually caused by, traumatic or stressful life events. So if something, you know, pretty traumatic happens, it can, you know, especially to a young person, it can cause these kinds of emotions to come up, which in the Hodgson's case, their father had left them for a younger woman and then they were left in poverty. So he dipped, said fuck all y'all kids, left them with just the mom. The mom had to move out from their home to this home they're in now with nothing, really. So, with having to get furniture from a murder home, you know, like, not good. They also actually feared their father, and they didn't actually like having him around, but it was almost like just this... They already thought he was kind of a piece of crap, and then he leaves them, you know? Just caused so much anger for, you know, for them. But this would definitely explain why, you know, maybe Janet was the most affected. Maybe Janet was the most pissed off that their life was uprooted and changed.
Oh my gosh, this makes so much sense! But
I read somewhere, too, that the youngest sibling had such bad behavioral problems that he was, like, shipped off to boarding school. So he didn't even... I know there was four in the house. Voldemort. So I don't even know it's Voldemort.
Sorry.
Wow, so many. What's happening there in England, guys? What's going on? Y'all making Voldemorts all over the place.
Sorry.
Got a lot of Voldemort behavior going on here. This is where J.K. Rowling got the idea for Voldemort.
I'm sorry, because
he got shipped off to boarding school.
And when he came back, picked his ass up from boarding school.
They shipped him off to boarding school, and he just took over the back of his sister's head.
I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on here. Anyway,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, maybe, like I said, Janet was, like, the most affected, so that's why she became, like, the most aggressive. Obviously, the kids were having issues altogether, but, and maybe, like, having all of that and, like, it's all of that energy, and it's, like, coming out on its own and moving shit, but also, like, maybe that made her more apt to, like, faking some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, somewhere subconsciously it's already happening. You know what I mean?
Oh my God,
I don't
this
know.
This is fucking fascinating.
I don't know about all that. I'm making that shit up on the spot out of my own head. So
no, but
that's
this
not
is
in any
still
research. But I just thought about it. I was like if you if that's real and you have all of this energy and it's like manifesting itself, your brain, maybe in a way, is responsible.
Well, it's even more fascinating because I just got done with school with child and adolescent development. So learning about how their brains are already developing and then adding that onto it, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. It's like I said earlier, it's like your adolescence is literally the second, like, I think, what is it, from 0 to 3, I believe, is the biggest growth spurt.
Because that
trickles into 5, but the biggest growth spurt of your brain.
Yeah.
And then the second one is in your adolescence.
Yeah.
So that's why when people complain about teenagers, like, oh, you always sleep, you're so lazy, da da da. It's like, no, literally, their brain is, like, on fucking constant overload.
Yeah.
Even if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because their brain is, like, starting this second wave of building new pathways and
mm-hmm.
and retaining information and getting rid of information. So it's like, you know, so yeah, that was just my thoughts on Janet. So
and little Voldemort.
Yeah, so is anyone surprised that there wasn't very much mention of Ed and Lorraine Warren, considering this is a whole premise of a film based off of their work? Anyone? Crickets? Mm-hmm. So, although Ed and Lorraine did investigate, they came for like 2 days.
That's it?
That was it. They visited in like, I think, May of 78.
Mm-hmm.
And they were only there for a few days. Basically said, yep, it's real, and then dipped. However, when I watched the film, it's like, they're running in and out of the house with them, and they're staying there for hella long, and... No. That wasn't true. So, they were there. However, the movie very much exaggerates how much they were there. So.
Well, that's just movies.
So. I know. It just was like, because I was kind of like, oh, cool, Ed and Lorraine Warren thing, The Conjuring, huh? And I was like, oh. This should have been the Gross and Playfair Conjuring movie. Because
mm-hmm.
they were there the whole time. I didn't write it down in here either, but I don't even remember his first name already. The Gross guy. Gross actually stayed in contact with the family until he died.
Oh, wow.
And then the mom, Peggy, lived in that house until she passed away back in 2006.
Oh, man.
So she stayed there, and Janet says that that when they would visit, like, because obviously they're, like, traumatized by some of the shit that happened.
Yeah.
But when they would visit their mom after they moved out, I think Janet actually moved out at 16 and then, like, got married really young.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes
bye.
People do that to escape their situation. So
yeah.
I definitely feel like something was definitely going on. But she said when she would visit her mom, especially in her old age, it always felt like somebody was watching them.
Mm.
So she's like, nothing left. Like, something was definitely there.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe her adolescent rage just, like, picked up on it and escalated it or something. But she said that until her mom passed away, like, it always felt like, so, like, there's just always something there. So, and that is the story of the Enfield Poltergeist.
That's crazy.
The abridged. Everything here is abridged.
I'm telling you, the Pope should have showed up.
So, I mean, Ed Warren
is not a pope.
No, Ed Warren was a self-proclaimed demonologist, which is why he couldn't get the Pope's permission. Like, I'm gonna do a whole Ed and Lorraine Warren episode. It's probably gonna have to be split into two, because there's a lot to unpack there, but, like, in one of the films, Ed does an exorcism.
Mm.
But he wasn't, like, trained
by
to
the
do
Pope.
Them. And nor was he sanctioned. He was a member of the Catholic Church. He did follow the Catholic practice. But because he's a self-proclaimed demonologist, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't go through the steps to get to exorcismhood, so, like, he actually wasn't technically, you know, quote-unquote, allowed to do them, nor trained to do them, but because he was his own, you know, he attempted them, but,
may the power of Christ compel you.
So, yeah, anyway, we'll save that for Ed and Lorraine Warren episode. I feel like that would be an interesting one. Anyway, so what did you prepare for us today?
I really hope I'm saying this right, because it's got a lot of letters in it that put all together make it look like whale with a Y at the end. Whaley?
Yeah, it is Whaley.
The Whaley House. Whale with a Y. I did the best I could with the kind of choppy history on it.
Yes.
It's very choppy
history. It is. It is. That's the one in San Diego.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was like...
very choppy history.
It was like a dirt lot, and then they built a house on it.
It was not a dirt
lot. No, it wasn't?
Oh, it was not a dirt
lot. Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong one. No. Okay, you share with me then, because obviously I don't remember.
Because... some said it was a dirt lot.
Oh.
Some say it wasn't a dirt lot.
Got it.
Some say it was something else besides a dirt lot.
Was it a dirt cemetery?
It was a dirt cemetery. Ah. Okay, so yeah, it's kind of choppy history that kind of is split between a few things that make sense and kind of doesn't make sense. So I did my best to pull it together. But Thomas Whaley, who was of Scots-Irish origin, was born in New York City as the seventh of 10 children.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot to...
sounds like a...
child's.
It sounds like the oldest took care of most of them.
Thomas actually took over his father's family business and left New York and found himself in San Francisco during the Gold Rush. And in 1851, he then found himself in San Diego. In 1853, he returned to New York to marry Anna, who has a last name that I can't pronounce. And then they returned to San Diego in December of 1853 to their home, which is now known as the Whaley House. Thomas and Anna had six children. Unfortunately, in 1858, Thomas Jr. had passed from scarlet fever at like 18 months old.
Oh.
He is... yeah, tiny. Thomas and Anna had also had a fire consume their store, which was connected to the Whaley House, I believe. There was no thing that, like, confirmed or denied that. So, like I said, choppy.
I've heard that. I've listened to the story of this place in a few podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And I have heard that, yes, there was fire at one point.
But the store, whether it was connected or just next to it or not, has been neither confirmed nor denied. Because
I feel
in some places it says it was connected, in some places it said it wasn't connected. It was just next to.
From what I recall, I thought the store was like one of the rooms in the bottom floor of the house. But again, probably. I don't fucking know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyway.
Anyways. So in January of 1858, or not 1858, but in 1859... the family moved back to San Francisco. We got a family on the move. Thomas had then put his affairs in the hands of Frank Ames, who was a Wells Fargo agent. I didn't know that they had Wells Fargo all the way back in the 1800s, which...
Wells Fargo was not a bank back then.
Oh.
It was like a, I don't want to be quoted on this, so I might delete this whole part. There's a reason that the emblem or the logo for Wells Fargo is horse and carriages.
Was it like a stock market type thing? Because I was really confused. I'm like, what the fuck kind of bank was open back then?
Hold on. Oh, well, Wells Fargo was the Amazon of the Old West. The Wells Fargo Company was established to provide delivery and banking services specifically for new settlements in the West.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, yeah. It's like Stagecoach Central.
Great.
Stagecoach-centric. Okay. Anyway, so there we go. That's what Wells Fargo was.
In 1868, so here we're moving quite some years, he invested some of his stuff in some merchandise stock and went back to San Diego to fix up the Whaley house. And then his family arrived back with him in December of the same year. So now they're back in San Diego. Okay? Okay. Thomas and Anna's daughters, Violet and Amelia, both married in 1882 in old San Diego. Unfortunately, Violet's partner turned out to be a con artist, and that fucked up Violet, like, made her really sad and depressed, and she unfortunately committed suicide from being extremely sad and depressed from her bitch-ass partner at the age of 22.
Don't let a man bring you down.
After the tragic events, Thomas had built a new home for his family in downtown San Diego, leaving the Whaley house vacant for about 2 decades. So now we're out of the house again.
Nice.
Okay. In 1890, Thomas Whaley died in the downtown San Diego home. In 1905, his other daughter, Anna Amelia, had passed away in Modesto, California. The Whaley house had still remained vacant and was falling into despair. In 1909, Francis Whaley, who I believe is one of the sons, mm-hmm. took on restorations of the building and turned the home into a tourist attraction. Anna, who was his wife, Corinne, who was one of the other daughters, Francis and George all lived in the Whaley house starting in 1912. Anna had unfortunately passed away in 1913. Francis passed away in 1914. George passed away in 1928. And Corinne continued her residency there until she passed away in 1953.
All right. Oh, sorry. So,
there we go. That's
the history.
That's what I got for you.
That's the whole story of the end.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's all I got.
Goodbye.
Fuck the ghosts.
So, we're going back to before the house was born. And built. Born and built. In 1852, Yankee Jim
Doodle.
Robinson, or James, whatever you would like to call him, Yankee Doodle.
That's such a...
He was a thief, mostly known for stealing boats. It was said that he was caught stealing boats with two other accomplices. And people were tired of him and his bullshit.
People were tired of his shit.
Pretty much. Like, they wanted him caught and they wanted him done stealing. Like,
they wanted him dead.
This is where we're going. So, his two accomplices that were caught were each sentenced a year in prison. Jim was sentenced to the gallows. It is said that Jim was actually hung where the Whaley house was built. And Thomas Whaley was actually present when he was hung.
He's like, sweet, let me buy this plot of land after. That would be nice here, a house.
So reports have been made, even by the Whaleys, to have had Jim's presence in the house where he was, like, in the portion of the house where he was executed.
What?
Yeah. There was also another story where, about a child named Annabelle Wasburn, who was said to be playing outside where she ran into a low-hanging clothesline, breaking her neck.
What?
Thomas had found her and carried her to the dining table where she had passed. Yet there's no record of the incident or the child, so no one knows if that is true, but nobody knows who the apparition of the child in the dining room belongs to.
Wait.
The house was also built on top of an old cemetery. The Whaleys,
aren't they all?
So, the Whaleys always heard footsteps and passerby saw apparitions in the windows when no one was home, which is fucking creepy. I mean, footsteps, yeah. The apparitions in the windows, though, I'm cool. That's the part where I get confused, though. Like, it said that it was just a plot of land, and then it said it was built on a cemetery. So who knows?
Who fucking knows?
During restoration periods, construction workers had reported hearing unexplained sounds, unexplained sights, and unexplained smells.
Ew.
I don't want to know what the fuck they were smelling.
But what smells? Like, I get, like, unexplained perfumes that past family members have worn. Or, like...
Yes.
Like, cigar smoke. Like, maybe, hopefully not, like, toilet. What if you got a haunting and it just smelled like poops?
Terrible.
People felt... Why can't I write?
People felt,
it's supposed to be a foreboding, not and, a foreboding presence, when inside the home, and that is believed to be Jim, who would also leave muddy footprints and stomp on the floor.
I mean, I would too if he built his bedroom where I was home.
But the muddy footprints, though, like, that's so scary. No, don't leave muddy footprints. Just stomp on the floor, please. I won't be cleaning up your muddy footprints. So the infant Thomas Jr. is said to be heard crying in the halls, giggling, and some can even hear his tiny footsteps.
Oh.
A young woman's apparition can be seen on the second floor, and that is said to be Violet. She lingers in the home due to her locking herself in her second floor bedroom while mourning her short-lived marriage. Mm. Cold spots are felt throughout the home. Stairwells are an extreme hot spot for apparitions. Thomas Whaley can even be seen wearing his favorite top hat and coat while peering from the top of the steps. It reminded me of the, scene in Titanic where Jack's standing on the top of the stairwell.
Oh, yeah. Looking at his... Was that not a pocket watch? What was he staring at?
I don't fucking know.
Mans couldn't afford a pocket watch. Anyway.
No, there's a... Is that a spider down there?
Ew, don't say that.
I think it's a spider.
Where?
Don't kill it. Yeah, bro, see, that's a spider.
Where?
Right here. Right here in this fucking corner.
Oh. No, leave him there.
Okay.
Don't kill him.
I won't.
I accidentally ruined his home.
Oh.
And he scurried over here, and I was wondering where he went.
Oh, good. Well, I fucking found him. Thanks.
Well, he's fine. He's been living in the corner by the back door, and he's actually been catching a lot of, like, bugs that wander in. So fine. He gets to live.
Fine.
I didn't name him yet, though, so... If anyone listens to this and wants to name my...
His name is Chandelier.
Oh, that's dumb. Don't let Kayla name anything. No more naming things for you.
No, he's next to my feet!
Help us name our spider! There's also a leaf.
Well, the leaf is fine!
I don't even know where that leaf came from. We don't have a tree spider, that looks like that. He brought the leaf in. This is for my bed. Why is he even moving?
I'm waiting for him to move.
He's not going to. He's been over here for 2 days.
I'm not even done yet.
I ruined his web 2 days ago.
Okay. So objects move on their own. The chandeliers swing. The lights turn on. And unseen hands can be reported.
What? What does that even mean?
I'm assuming, like, people touching you.
Oh.
That's what I'm assuming.
I was thinking, like, hands cut off at the wrists, but then I was like, wait, it was unseen.
Like, I'm just thinking of, like, people touching you, like...
Okay. That makes sense.
So, the Whaley home is actually open to the public today.
Yes.
And it was first opened as a museum in 1960 by the San Diego Historical Shrine Foundation. I was trying to say that too fast, and I almost tripped way over my words. The Save Our Heritage organization has been maintaining it since 2000, and in 2007, a live-in caretaker has been on the property to prevent theft and vandalism. So you can go tour the house today. It actually even had a movie made about it in
2012. Oh.
And the Whaley House has also been on a few shows as California's, quote, most haunted house.
I know, all the times I went to San Diego and I never visited it. Well, looks like that's what we're doing next time we go to LA.
I guess so.
The extra hour and a half to San Diego.
I guess so. I was looking at the tickets, too, and the tickets are only, like, $24.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
We also have to go back and do a redo so we can go to the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm. I don't even want to talk about it.
He hasn't moved.
I don't care. Don't like spiders.
You leave him alone. That's my friend.
He's your only friend.
I've, like... I don't know. I have, like, this... Like, I used to try to, like, release spiders. I just have a hard time killing things now. Not that I killed things to begin with, but, like, bugs. Like,
what did you kill?
Like, bugs. Like, spiders and stuff. Like, I mean, even when we had mice, I was, like, getting the humane traps and shit and throwing them in the neighbor's yard. But just kidding, I didn't throw them in the neighbor's yard for legal reasons. It was the back of the fence. But yeah, I don't know.
I agree about the mice.
He's not doing anything, man. I also saw that, you know, those like damn TikTok poem.
I had TikTok to kill a spider
flips
the other day. Well, it wasn't the other day. It was like a few weeks ago now. I washed my car by hand. And the spider was crawling
up
my leg.
Not even a spider. It was gross. You washed your car by hand. I was kidding.
The fucking thing, legs too, was like that big. And it was up my leg. And I fucking whacked that shit off.
See, well.
And then I smooshed it.
He just asked for the smoke.
And I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
So my ass was in my room the other day. I was working on some stuff for work. So I'm at my desk in my room. And I just had something like. Up or so I just caught this little shadow just and I'm like, oh hell no, I already knew it was a fucking spider.
Yeah,
the sun, everything just lined up perfectly for me this to see the shadow of this like little spider. So I turn around, this motherfucker is like dangling like where damn near, so it's like I have the, it's shaped like this desk too, so I don't know what you call this, like an L shape.
Yeah.
So it's, like, dangling, but I have the two tier here, so I have that top shelf. So it's dangling from the top shelf, kind of, like, where my fucking elbow is, almost. And thank God I saw the shadows. I just, it was one of those jumping spiders.
Oh.
Which, like, they look yucky, because I got a big butt, and they're all, like, marked, but I've seen, there's a lady on TikTok that, like, keeps them as pets, and they're actually, like, really cute, and, like, the one she has just crawls and just like sleeps on her hand. Like,
were you gonna keep it it sleep on your fucking hand?
No, I don't want to sleep on my hand. I'm allergic to spider bites, so if it got scared and bit me, I'd die. Anyway, so I just was like, all right, bud, you can't live in here. So I went, we have like those, like, you know, the soup containers you get from takeout. And I'm in there trying to get it to go in the fucking soup container. And it wouldn't.
Well,
so I put it up under, and then I, like, banged on the top of the desk, so it fell in, and I hurried up and put the thing over, and then I, like, run out, I'm like, Justin, open the door, and he's like, what? And I'm like, the spider, I caught it. He goes, you're fine, you can do it. I'm like, no, I have two hands on it, I need you to open the door. I threw the whole soup container into my flower bed.
Take the soup container with you.
Just have it. It's your home now. You can keep it. So I need to get that thing out of my flower bed.
He's probably decorated it by now.
At this point, it is probably his home. So
it's fine.
That's all yours, bud.
You can have it.
I got it for free. So yeah. I don't know. I just couldn't kill him. And then I seen the lady on TikTok who like pets them. And I was like, well, fuck. They can't. And I just eat bugs, man. And I hate bugs. I hate mosquitoes. I hate ants. I hate flies.
I hate all the bugs.
I have a good old little spider in our front window that I've just left it there. Mm-hmm. And he's got 8 flies in his web. I'm like, you can live.
you're doing your job. Because they all the flies go to the window, mm-hmm. and then he catches them. It's like, if we have a good working relationship right now.
Oh, okay.
So, like...
His name will be Banana.
You don't get to name things here. Yeah, he doesn't have a name either. I haven't named any of them. I did have two.
I have a car mirror spider. the one that... What is that? The one outside your door. The
side mirror?
Side mirror. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of the name.
What is that called?
Side mirror. My God. He lays his web every night and then goes and scurries in behind my mirror and then comes back out every morning when I have to leave for work, peeps his little head out, and then scurries back in. But I leave him alone because he's ugly.
Yeah. He gotta die. Not today. Ew, he's like made a home under Nova's toy.
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
Take a picture of it and put him on the podcast story. Like, name our spider.
Oh my God.
Watch him like not be here. If he moves away to another part of the house, I'm gonna be... Anyway. So.
Oh no. Oh darn.
Oh shit. Oh, it's still recording. Alright, well, this episode's already long as fuck, and we don't need to talk about anything else now.
I know.
We can save that for when we get back to our normal episodes not being this long. So, anyways, that is all for today. Welcome back. Welcome back to you and I. And I'm excited. I'm excited to do this again. And I feel like I have a hobby again, because that got real depressing there for a while. You can follow us on Instagram at thecreepinpod. You can... I don't know. What is my spiel? I don't remember the spiel.
Something about Instagram, not Facebook, because we're barely on Facebook.
No, I'm not even going to mention the Facebook anymore. We have a blog we put sources on sometimes.
I remember. My brain is fried, guys. Like, I do the best I can,
okay? So, you can give us a couple episodes and make sure you still like us, and then you can leave us a review on Spotify or Apple or whatever you are listening to us on. Something like that. I'll figure that out for the next time.
I sent you a picture of the spider.
Oh, yeah, and if you want to share your stories with us and have us share them on the podcast on your behalf, you can always email us at thecreepinpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks. And until the next one, we will see you later.
Bye.
Bye.